Before we begin this episode, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Without your support, this podcast wouldn't be able to get published. A special shout out to Ames T, Fernando P, Christian G, Cassandra G, Bianca, Ronnie, Miranda, Eveline, Selena, and Annabelle. If you want to support the continued production of this podcast, support us on Patreon. $5 gets you a video version of these new episodes. $10 gets you a special extra episode. And yeah, so Bitter Brown Femmes on Patreon. The link is in the description. Ba-da-ba. All right. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is one of your hosts, Ruben.
And this is your other host, Cassandra.
And, I forgot to say where I'm coming from, and so did you. So I guess this is.
I'm coming from some real shit.
Oh.
Some real shit that we're going to talk about today.
I'm coming from a happy place for the most part, except for I broke out in hives earlier this weekend, so that was not great. You.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm in a much better mood, so I apologize for the last 2 weeks. But real quickly, there was a flash mob in LA. I don't know if it was yesterday or like this weekend, and they were doing it to like "Anxiety" by Doechii, which is such a like TikTok song or whatever,
Oh,
and it's like
God.
definitely a recession indicator. Like flash mobs are back. I'm scared.
Flash mobs were never good. Let me just put that out there. They were always cringy and corny. And I guess it's like a way for some people to build like comunidad, but.
I don't know, but I'm scared because,
But yeah.
like, why?
And also, that song is so bad.
It
Like,
is. She has
don't.
such better
Literally
music.
everything in her catalog is better than that fucking song.
I didn't even
But.
know it was her. I didn't even know it was her. I thought it was like, I confused that song with that other song. Oh my God, that song that's like, "And I'm too messy, something,
Oh.
something." Like, I confused both of those songs and I thought it was like some other weird white girl singing it. But anyway.
Somebody like. Photoshop like. Emilia Perez onto that girl who sings that song, I'm Too Messy, whatever that song is. And now I just like every time I hear that song, I can only picture like Emilia Perez singing that. But yeah, don't join a flash mob unless you're forced to. Don't propose to be a flash mob. Remember when that was a
Oh
thing?
no.
Yeah, that's gross. But another more real. Intangible recession indicator are girl the tariffs. The tariffs.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it.
So if y'all don't know what a tariff is, it's like this extra charge or tax that we are charging other places to import labor or import goods or services or whatever. And it's something ridiculous, like, anywhere from like 10% of a cost of an item to 25% of a cost of a thing, even sometimes even more. And they're kind of like arbitrary at the moment. They're being applied as the administration feels. But essentially what that means for Americans is that one of the big things that's going to get hit are like electronics. So, your $1,000 computer is going to cost an extra $300 minimum. And that's not even going into like labor and all these other things that would affect the price of something. And the way somebody else broke it down for me is that like tariffs are not just like, I'm going to buy this television that's made in China and that's going to be tariff 30%. And like, oh, that sucks. No. So when we think about like homemade things, some people are like, oh, well, then just buy American. So, okay, let's go with the lowest common denominator of like things that should be cheap but that are already proving to be rising in prices, like groceries, right? So, say for example, oranges, right? They're made in like Florida or whatever, and they're homegrown. They're the US made. But you know what's not made in the US? Like the tractors that carry things, like the nets that hold the oranges, the labels, like all those things contribute to the final price of something. So it might seem like the president is trying to, like, make these other countries pay to make the American economy be better. But no, he's trying to make the American people pay to make billionaires richer. So, yes, that is the tariff situation.
A mess, a fucking mess. Yeah, what to say at this point?
Yeah, so it'll, it's affected the stock market, which is like, it's still difficult for me to wrap my head around what the fuck the stock market even does. Like, why are we so beholden to this imaginary thing?
So like men, that's all men. That's why they need a curfew and a bedtime, because then they stay up and come up with this shit, like the stock market.
Somebody was like, there was a tweet a million
The
years ago.
only, yeah, go ahead.
There was a tweet a million years ago that was like, oh, mankind saw like the beauty of wa waterfalls and rainforests. It decided like, oh no, stock trading is what we should do.
And credit scores.
Oh God.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they have no vision, no creativity,
Which reminds
nothing.
me, credit scores are like not that old, like 70s or 80s.
Yeah. Just like a lot of other things, like ice.
Oh.
Yeah, but there I am pro tariffs in some situations, like men buying podcast equipment and DJ equipment, straight men specifically. 200 on that
200%.
them.
This also affects small businesses who, like, m in order to like even make, their ends meet, they have to like outsource for like the cheapest possible things. Which reminds me of like a tweet I saw where it was like this like right-wing man was like, terrors are finally gonna like, make women go back into the kitchen or whatever. And there's like
I'm already there, baby.
there's like a girl, don't even get me started. A part of me is like, if a man wants to pay for me to be at home all day, but
They don't. They don't. They don't got that kind of money.
no, they don't. And like, but yeah, tariffs are going to put a lot of small businesses, out. And a lot of these, small businesses are the only way for, marginalized groups to get into industry. So we're just going to see like a lot of consolidation of like power and money really fast if these tariffs aren't like stopped.
And is anyone doing anything to stop them?
I mean, the flash mobs, girl.
They're a direct response to
I
them.
mean, that's what the Democrats were doing this last Saturday. They were.
There was another, oh my gosh. There was like another video of it wasn't a flash mob, but it was a few weeks ago, and they were, I don't know where they were, but they were also doing like a little song and dance as a way of protest, and it was just like, here we are. Here we are again. Hello, old friend, from when
Yeah.
Trump first took office. Like,
Oh
that
my
is
God.
what is happening all over again.
Have you seen that song? Oh my God, I'm about to kill myself. There was like this white woman who was like very hippy dippy, and she was
The
like
Black Woman song.
the black indigenous people of color. Black indigenous
Okay, I saw a
people.
different one. It might
Oh.
have been the same one, just at a different time. But she was saying, I can't do the song. but she was saying, like, listen to black women. Women are gonna save black women are gonna save us. White cis white women don't turn on your sisters, like something like that. And I'm just like, why? We are in hell. Like, we're already in hell, and you're making it worse. You're making it worse.
But
Now
yeah.
we got like the song protests, we got the flash mobs coming back. Like,
Which
please.
I want to say, like, these protests that happened over the weekend that had like no goal or aim. It was just like express dissatisfaction with the current administration. Like without like a goal or like a framework
Demands.
or like a way to keep people incentivized or building power and building community. Without those things, these quote unquote protests are essentially just flash mobs. Like that is literally, they're just like liberal flash mobs. At least when the fucking
Yeah.
Republicans got together, they fucking try to fucking take over the United States. Shit. What is that called? Re something?
I also saw this other video. Sorry, I'm thinking. And it was like this black man walking. I'm through a protest, and he's like, "Is this a flea market? Is this a farmer's market, or is this a protest?" And you couldn't tell. You
Oh
couldn't
my God.
tell. I don't even know what it was. I think it was a protest. It was a protest, but it felt like you were at a farmer's market. But we saw all this in 2016. I've noticed P orgs coming through El Paso again. I'm like, damn, they know we exist again. Trump's in office. We're back. We are back on the fucking map. They're coming to fucking save us again. Thank you so much.
What orgs have stopped by and how?
ACLU, number one.
Ooh. Oh shit, they're back to their bullshit, doing
Of
nothing.
course. Anyway, I don't even want to get started on ACLU or that right now. But there were protests, and yeah, it's like everything you just said, and again, the whole who has the signs. You know which one I hate that I see all the time? It's like, you know it's bad when introverts are out here. I'm like, bitch, go home. Because you're not doing shit. Just go home. Or my favorite one that I saw again, that they did the same with Hillary. It was like, if Kamala had won, we'd all be at brunch. And it's like, yeah, we know that's the fucking problem.
Somebody was like, as a waiter in DC, I can tell you for sure that all these people did literally go back to brunch after their protest.
Yeah, you're acting like your whole life is like disrupted or you're doing something, and it's all performative and annoying. But I did notice that there wasn't a lot of coverage on the protest, which a lot of people did attend, and obviously that's intentional. Because I didn't even know about the fucking protest till yesterday, I think.
I don't even know how I found out. I think, oh, because our freeways are blocked in Portland for a hot minute.
Hey, I
That's how I
mean,
found
at
out.
least the people in Portland over there, the pansexuals, they get down and they're about it. Say what you want about the pansexuals in Portland, but when it comes down to it, they're out there
They're out
setting things on fire.
doing
Well, I
something.
don't know about this protest, but I
No,
know.
not this protest.
Yeah, okay, not these were not the pansexuals of
No.
Portland. These were somebody, they were in a different group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know people that were out there actually though, now that I remember. I have a friend who's in Vets About Face who are like veterans who like are anti-military, anti-government like now, and mostly come from like an anarchist framework. And they were out, they knew that this action was happening here, and they were out there trying to build with other people who showed up. So that's at least something. I will give them that. Check out Vets About Face if people say like, respect the troops, but then, right now we have like the veterans like resource, whatever it's called, like that department being dismantled, meaning that a bunch of disabled people are gonna be like left without their fucking resources and shit. So if you are someone who got coaxed into the military industrial complex and don't have community with other politically minded leftists, folks, yeah, you should check out Vets About Face.
Yeah, repent and then go do that. Because
Real.
let's keep it real. Let's keep pushing. But no, yeah, for sure. I think community's always missing from, or building, I should say, or like it's kind of, yeah, again, like we're gonna go protest and do these chants that I fucking hate. Like, which one do I hate? Hey, ho ho.
No, I hate
Something so.
whose streets are streets, because why are they our streets?
Something. The hey, ho, something democracy, or this is what democracy looks like. Oh my God, I hate that one. I hate all of them. You know? But it is. It's just like, let's go do that, walk around the block and hold up our signs and go home. There's no building. And then another thing I hate is the doomerism. Like, I get it. I do. It feels sometimes like very hopeless, and we're just like, what the fuck are we gonna do, right? But I feel like at these protests, there also needs to be hope. There also needs to be like a sense of it is possible to do something about this versus like, we're all just here. There's nothing we can do. We're powerless. That messaging is, I think, very dangerous, especially when you're trying to reel people in.
Yeah, I am trying to figure out like what to be frank with you, as I was thinking about like ways to build power and like as I've been reading and seeing what the leftist people are saying online, like sometimes it feels like the next big thing as far as organizing that like we can tangibly do is like honestly try to unionize in our workspaces so that inevitably like a general strike is possible.
Absolutely.
Right now, because everybody like 'cause unions have been so demonized, a general strike is not really possible. But it's important that we build towards that because that would really show the government that people can put, can hurt the economy, which is the thing that they most care about, right? We're in a capitalist machine. So I really think that that is the next big frontier.
Yep.
That does remind me that there was yet another airplane mishap recently, this time in Portland.
Oh, yeah, you did show me that. You did send me that. It's not
Yeah.
funny.
So that's like six in like 3 months. And like the first four happened in the first month of Trump
Yeah, it was like
presidency.
a week, like week after week after week, I feel.
And then there was a pause, or they stopped showing us that stuff.
True.
Yeah. I am thinking a lot also about like the things that they're not showing us on the media anymore. And something that somebody brought up recently is, remember when like NBC used to like label itself as like a more liberal media platform, and now it's trying to play center field and be like, we invite both conservatives and liberals to talk about the issues. And like that wasn't so much the case before. And it's like a sign of like how conservatism and radical right wing ideology is like being normalized.
It has been for the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that reminds me.
That's why I said, what's his name? Pete Davidson removing his tattoos,
Oh.
the trad wives, the
Gwen Stefani having a
Gwen
prayer application?
Stefani. Yeah.
Fuck, that hurt. 'Cause damn, I love that woman. Damn.
I'm. The baddies are all Christian now, also a recession indicator. They're all converting to Christianity. It's not funny. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Oh
What a
God.
time to be alive.
Something.
If I have one more like breakdown, I'm about to join them. You know, like that
Sometimes.
tweet that's like life is so bad, or like your breakup or whatever you're going through is so bad, you like start praying or go back to church. It's like, that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
Sometimes I feel like it must be really comforting to believe in something like that.
Absolutely. I,
Like,
yes.
I understand it sometimes, and sometimes I do wish that I believed in something like that, but it's just not, it just doesn't click with me.
Yeah.
But
I don't like the vibes.
I don't like the
Oh,
vibe.
there's too much trauma. There's too much trauma now.
I also like also the idea of like continuing to live after death is sounds so exhausting to me.
Exhausting.
And like
Like, why would I do that?
I do not want to do, like after it's done, like
That's why I also feel weird about reincarnation. I'm like, why? Like, why do I want to do that again?
yeah. Although I do feel there's more like legitimacy in that. Sometimes it do make sense, like, oh, I could be reborn as a flower.
I
Yeah.
mean, yeah.
That reminds me, there's this like this sign in like I believe it was like Thailand. Somebody took a picture of it. It was like in the streets of like Thailand that said like, do it. What's Donald Trump's youngest son? Baron. Do it, Baron.
I love that sign.
Kill your father and be reborn as a
I
lotus flower.
shared that one time, and then people were saying that I was a child abuser.
Oh my God, that kid is like 20
Well, the
and
conservatives, this
oh.
was like back during his first presidency, but yeah, that sign is super funny.
He's yeah, that child is like 20 now in NYU, probably being ostracized. Why would you choose like I think he's no, I think he's in Brown, which is a similarly liberal school. Like, why would you choose that with your dad being who he is?
They probably like him. I mean, we're assuming that people there hate Trump.
Real.
You know, these academics.
I'm probably rich as shit, yeah.
They're like, I don't agree with your dad, but you know, we can like talk, we can be friends.
Lord.
Anyway. I know that. Go ahead.
Oh, finish your thought and then I'll go to mine.
Oh, I wanted to jump into a whole new topic.
Oh, I was just gonna mention that, like, while we're still in the political realm, fuck Elon Musk for trying to buy the Supreme Court judge election in Wisconsin. He paid something like $4 million to get Schmel elected, and he lost by 200,000 votes. And yeah, that was a way that they wanted to stack the courts in Trump's favor, but it didn't pan out that way. So that is fantastic and shows that like people are saying, like political analysts are saying that actually Elon Musk's presence in Wisconsin in the Wisconsin election turned people off of his candidate. And it's also fueling rumors that Trump is ready to kick Elon Musk out of the office. Which, why was he even allowed in the first place? Also, I know it's evident to a lot of people, but did anybody like really notice that like this department that was built for Elon Musk, like the Department of like, well, I forgot what it's called, General Expenditures or whatever. It's like, it was named after his Bitcoin. It was named after Dogecoin. Like, these people are so like so uncreative, so disgusting, so such loser behavior. And loser behavior not only in attitude, but an obvious like he's a loser in that the candidate that he paid so much to get elected ended up losing anyway. So yes, another episode, another time we, also dunk on Elon Musk.
Yeah. Who has like how many children?
11.
And
It's some odd number above 10.
yeah. And he doesn't take care of them. Typical man. But what I wanted to jump into, which we talked about the Chapel Roan interview last week, but we talked about her like a separate thing. Okay, full disclosure, I have not watched, I have not sat down and watched this
I
entire
knew you
video.
weren't gonna have
No, I've
watched
seen
it.
clips, and the clip I'm about to talk about, I don't even need the context. I'm being serious. And this isn't even really like about her, right? Like, I'm not like, oh, I hate her all of a sudden, or she, you know what I mean? It's not really about her because this is something that a lot of people say and think. But she made some comments. I don't know what the question was or why she brought this up. Again, I did not watch that interview. I don't have the attention span right now. I just said how to watch these things. But she did say she had mentioned something about her friends who are mothers who are in hell, or everyone that she knows that has kids are in hell. And it's just whatever. Like I said, I don't really need context outside of that. I already know what you're saying. And so it started, I think, this conversation of mothers who are like upset that she said this and are like, I'm happy. I love my kids, right? Like making videos. And then there's other people that are like, she did not say this terrible thing. It's like talking for real, right? Like motherhood is hard, or it is like a prison or whatever. And she didn't mean it this way. And whatever, whatever, whatever. My whole thing, again, she's not the first person to say this. People say this all the time. And it's like just reinforces. Like when people say that motherhood is a prison or hell or whatever, and every time they say that or imply that it is, it's like the only thing they're doing is like upholding these systems and ideologies that harm mothers, parents, and children. I had, we had talked about the account that I made, Mills v. State, Mills v. State. And on there, again, I kind of have just been sharing things on my phone, memes or articles about motherhood, about parenting, about youth liberation, parenting from an anarchist lens, et cetera, et cetera. And I had posted this, I don't want to say it's a meme, it was kind of like an image, and I deleted it. And it was cute, which is why he shared it. But it said, "Child care for your friends and family is mutual aid." And the wording could be wrong, but that's essentially what it said. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna share this. But I felt kind of weird about it. I'm like, I feel kind of weird about it being called mutual aid. But I shared it anyway because I'm like, you know what? Sometimes people relate to this mutual aid thing, right? Like, if it's worded in that way, then maybe they will be like, oh, I should offer, or I should offer to childcare services to my friends, right? It is mutual aid because everyone's on this mutual aid thing right now. And I shared it, and then this fellow anarchist mother that I follow, who her name's Erica, and she goes by Tortilla with Butter on Instagram. She's awesome. She had reshared it, and she had like vocalized why she didn't like it. And so like I really appreciated it because I was like, no, you're right. Like there was a reason why I didn't like this wording. And just to quote her, she had said, childcare is domestic work, and shared domestic work can be a way to build relationships with each other. And just talking about children need safe adults outside of their parents, and children and youth should be included in organizing, not just in like an afterthought or just like we need childcare, right? Like, et cetera, et cetera. And I appreciate that because, again, I was feeling kind of like about it. And I'm like, yeah, like saying that childcare, for example, is mutual aid, it's like you're doing me, I know the way we talk about mutual aid is not charity, but it's still like I'm doing you a favor, right? Versus like, no, like childcare is the responsibility of every fucking person in the community, regardless if you want kids or not, and regardless if you are related to these children or not. And people don't want to hear that. Like people are, when I say, or anyone says like children are an oppressed group, they're marginalized. Children deserve respect, like bare minimum shit. And people like freak out about that. Like they do not even want to acknowledge that kids are an oppressed group, that they're vulnerable, that they're marginalized. So telling people that they are collectively like responsible for these children, even though they're not theirs, is like not even on their fucking radar, right? And so when we say like Chapel Roan's comments about like her friends being in prison or hell, and I'm like, my question is, what are you doing for your friends? Why are your mom friends struggling so hard? And yes, parenting is fucking hard, right? It's a struggle, but a lot of it is rooted in these systems in capitalism, right? In isolation, like mothers are lonely, they're isolated as it is. And then we're adding capitalism to this and all these other things that everyone else deals with, right? And so instead of offering any type of help to parents, to mothers, to single mothers, it's always just like, oh, that sucks. That's why I don't have kids. Oh, it looks like hell. Oh, it's a prison. And it's like, what is that doing for me as a mom? Like, what are these comments? Like, if my friend sat on some podcast and was like, oh, my friend Cassandra, like, she's a mom and her life sucks. You know how condescending that is, especially if that person has never like shown up for me as in that aspect, right? Of being a mom and being supporting me as a mother, but like you are able to like sit up here and like be condescending and judge, you know what I mean? Like it just like that's where I'm coming from. And again, it's not really even about Chapel Roan because like she's not the only person who thinks this or say this, and maybe she thought that she was not doing that, right? Like she wasn't trying to be hurtful or whatever the fuck. But at the end of the day, it is. And so like people that sit there and say these things, my question is like, what the fuck are you doing for the parents around you that are related to you, that are your friends, but also in community? Like when we talk about like organizing spaces and how childcare should be a thing, it's also like it. Sorry, I saw this other post and I wish that I could find it, but it was like this long, like it was probably like 10 or more like slides. And I think the person who wrote it was a mom, and she was talking about how like moms should go into community organizing spaces and like blah blah blah, which I agree, but I'm also like, are we welcome in these spaces? Are children welcomed here? Like, what are organizing spaces doing for parents? Why is it like up to me to go, which I do, right? But like sometimes I don't have childcare. Sometimes I have to work, like whatever, whatever. And so telling parents, like, you guys need to come and be in these organizing spaces, right? It's like, well, what are you guys doing to help us, to make us feel included, to welcome our children? Like I said, there should be childcare, but there should also be an inclusion of children in those spaces, right? Especially if they're teenagers. Like, why can't they be included in the organizing spaces and hear their thoughts or to be included in those spaces? And obviously not every child wants to be in those spaces, and that's where childcare comes in, but these are all just like bare minimum shit that no one ever like talks about. And people want to talk about community, capitalism, everything that you can think of, but when it comes to like that intersection of like children and then especially like caretakers, it's like, I don't know, all of a sudden, like, I don't understand how capitalism also affects children or how it also affects the people taking care of them.
Yeah, no, that's real. I honestly thought that was going to go in a different direction, so I was ready to fight for my girl, but
What direction did you think it was going to go in?
I go fuck Chapel Roan for this opinion, but
I could say that, but like again, it's a thing that people say all the time. And I again, I'm sure that people probably like it did start like there was a lot of like, oh, what she meant was like that motherhood is hard. And is it hard? Yeah, it is hard, but let's talk about why it's hard. And let's talk about what you're doing to make it less hard for people, for your friends. Like she's literally saying these are her friends. So like what are you doing for your friends?
yeah, I
And
have.
like that's a question also that people like bring up a lot that are like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do for moms or for children, right? And it's like very basic shit, and I don't want to limit it to like very small things, but it is like let's start off small. Like just thinking very small, like I mentioned that motherhood is very lonely, it's very isolating, and usually when you have kids, especially if you have more kids or if you're a single mom, like it's hard to have friends, it's hard to have connections. Like for me, if people invite me somewhere, they don't have kids, they can do whatever they want. Like I cannot do that. It's so even just like calling me, even just like reaching out to your friends that have kids to have that like checking in, like bare minimum shit. If like And it doesn't even have to be like when your friend asks you, right? Because like I think we also want people to be like, well, let me know if you need anything. And it's like sometimes we don't tell you what we need, or you know, because we're busy or because we're embarrassed or don't want to be seen as a burden, etc. So it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like there's also this thing of like building relationships and friendships with children, which sounds weird to people, but it's like we're acknowledging that children are individual people. So why not have a connection to each individual child? Like the people in my life always ask about my child, and I appreciate that a lot because he is an extension of me, but he's also his own person. And so when they see him, they'll talk to him as a direct person, right? Like when I see my kids' friends and I go over to their house or like we're in this space, I always talk to the children directly. And I have like, I'm not saying like we hang out all the time, like they're my friends, but we do, you know, like I'm just like, hey, how's school? How's your day? Like having an actual relationship with a child and acknowledging them, not just like showing up to your friend's house and like being like, okay, you have a kid and they're here in the room, but I'm not gonna acknowledge this child. So once you have like a connection with this child or like they're comfortable around you're actually trying to build a relationship with them, then it's easy to be like, hey, you know what? Let me take care of your kid for an hour while you go, don't know, do whatever the fuck you want to do, right? Let me do laundry for you. Let me order food for you guys. Like basic ass shit that people just like do not care, but yet they have like all these things to say about motherhood and about children, about how they don't want them, about how it's like all these opinions, but like y'all ain't doing shit. So yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's real. The only other things I've heard about around surrounding the comments about like motherhood looks like hell is one of my friends, Sylvia, who I don't think she necessarily saw herself as a mother for most of her life because she considered herself, well, she is asexual. And then, when she did end up becoming a mother, she found herself at odds with a lot of the ways people describe motherhood. And she's also somebody who like was recovering from like religious trauma, and she was like, y'all use the language of martyrdom to talk about motherhood like way too easily and way too much. Like that built resentment, right? So, yeah, there's a, and maybe that's something like learned and not actually felt, right? I don't know anything about parenting, obviously. I don't even know if I can have a dog yet. But I do wonder like about like where did people start using the language of like, parenting is like such a sacrifice and such a that and when yeah, I say that just like as I think about like, when yeah, when people start using the language of like martyrdom for that. And maybe that's what, not trying to say that anything about the chaperone situation. She probably just echoed the language that her peers used about motherhood, about like, that sounded in the martyrdom sphere. But ultimately, like, I agree with your insights about like, yeah, what the fuck are we doing? Like, as non-parents, like, okay, these people who are our friends are telling us that they are having a hard time with the responsibilities of bringing another human into this world. So yeah, what are we doing to alleviate shit? Yeah, I mean, other than my sisters who I've, helped in the early stages when they need like an extra hand around the house, was my one of my good friends in Portland. I anytime there's like a hangout or anything of any sort, like I always make sure that like there's space for her son here. For Christmas, for example, like everything, like I hosted and everything in the house was essentially catered to her son. But yeah, it is about how like stop passing judgment on how parents are dealing with parenthood and instead like look at how we can offer a helping hand.
Yeah, and I also hate, sorry, because that was like a lot. But another thing is, like, I hate this whole framing of like women who don't have children slash women who have careers are so much happier. And I see people sharing that all the time,
Oh
right?
no.
And yeah, and it's like, okay, that's like a choice that obviously this person is making, and like that's their right to not have children again, whatever. But it's also like, okay, so wage labor is okay, but motherhood is not. Like, you're essentially saying that wage labor equals freedom when we're putting it in a context next to motherhood. And it's also like, as if mothers, especially single mothers, like don't also have careers, don't also work because of capitalism, because we're, I mean, sometimes it is a choice, right, to not stay home. But I think for a lot of us, it's like we don't have that option. So it's just, again, going back like to the way that people don't ever critically think about these things or anything regarding children. It's like, I don't know, motherhood is not the problem for me. If I ever say it's hard or I'm struggling, obviously, yes, but it's like, I don't want someone to be, again, condescending or vilifying or pitying me. Like, I want people to actually like do something and redirect that energy that you're putting on mothers at capitalism, at individualism, at the hatred of children, because that all the nuclear family that should be abolished, that sets us back. Like, the nuclear family is just like, here's the mom and the dad and the two kids, and
They should be all they need.
yeah, this is all, it's also very cis heteronormative, obviously. Like, it's a lot of those things. And so if we were to start thinking about it in those contexts, I feel a lot of people would be where they need to be, like on board, but they don't, because like I said, once like children are entered in a conversation, it's like children are little people and I don't hate them, but I don't want them around me. But you know what I mean? Like, they're able to just like dismiss them. And if you're dismissing that, then you're dismissing mothers, which is also very, like, it's a misogyny if we're being honest. Like, when you're saying like children aren't included in your spaces or in restaurants or whatever, you're also not only, reinforcing the hatred of children, or that, you know what I mean, but also for moms, which are like the majority caretaker that are going to be there with the child. So there's just like a lot that people do not care to even think critically about.
That reminds me of one of the greatest characters in television, Christina Yang, who.
Bitch, I've been rewatching Grey's Anatomy. That's
Shut
when I
up.
tell people I'm rewatching Grey's Anatomy, that's how I level like my mental health, and it's bad. Once the Grey's Anatomy comes out, it's bad. But I fucking love Christina Yang.
How are you rewatching 22 seasons of something?
I
Where do you
stop.
even
I
start?
actually stop when she leaves usually, because I cannot. That show's still ongoing.
22 seasons, girl. Somebody
Like, they have
said.
him hostage. Like, we need to free
No.
Meredith Grey.
She already is free.
Is she?
Yeah, she.
Every time they announce like a new season, it's just like her face and she looks like so done, but
She
she's
looks.
still there.
Yeah, no, she started another show. But yeah, after she survived COVID, she
That's
left.
as far as I remember. And I'm like, I'm not going past that. Like,
That's where she
I.
left. That's when she left.
Oh, okay. I
And I
didn't know.
think
Thing. I.
that's when it ended for a lot of people, I think. But I think that was 2 seasons ago or something. I don't know. I don't watch that. I used my old roommate, not my last roommate, but the roommate before that, he used to fucking love Grey's Anatomy. And I'm like, the show hasn't moved on for like 4 episodes. She was in a coma for like half a season.
Meredith Grey?
Yeah, because it
Yeah.
was a COVID-induced coma. And I'm like, girl, how is she still in this coma? But I'm remembering that Christina Yang like did not want kids, and that was like a deal breaker. But then they saw some other doctors saw her being like friendly and competent with a child, and they were like, "How are you so good with kids? I thought you didn't like them." She's like, "No, I like kids, but unlike most adults, like I respect them enough to know that like they should be with people who want to have them." Yeah.
Yes, I remember that quote. And a lot of people are like, fuck kids, ha ha ha, so funny, don't want them because motherhood, that like, it's like, okay, you don't want them. Okay, personal choice, let's move on. But you're still responsible for children in your community. Sorry, sorry about that. You know, like one of the memes that I shared on AnFam or whatever, it's like, y'all want to talk about living in like communal spaces and all this bullshit, but like, you can't handle it when there's a kid next to you at a fucking restaurant.
And I'm
And
sorry,
that's
but
because
like,
they don't even think of children. Like, they literally exclude children in these little fucking scenarios that they have.
and not to be that friend that's too woke, but
No, I need the
hey,
wokest. We need to be the wokest. Because also, sorry, no, go ahead. I'm not gonna go on another rant.
hating children is hell of a colonized mindset.
Absolutely.
Because guess what we did and still do, like in our, indigenous like homes and shit like that, is that we raise families together, like everybody for everybody, right? Like I was gonna say like back in the day, but no, like even the practice of like, 'cause me helping my sisters when they give birth and like being around them, that was not something that like I just came up on my own. Like my uncle, my mom's brother, he would come down to America to help my mom around the house whenever she had kids. And then, back in Mexico, like that's why so many of our families like live in the same block and shit. Like it's hella colonized to not want to help people with their children, because to be in community means to understand that you're not just taking care of like your immediate generation, you're taking care of generations five, five generations down.
No, for sure. There's a lot of there's just so much like books and articles about colonization, about white supremacy and the link to hating children. I also blame white feminism on that.
Say
I dead
more. I've
ass.
never heard of this.
this, like tying it into the abortion move, like I've met people who hate kids so much that they're pro-abortion, but not because for the right reasons. It's because they don't like kids.
Oh my
And it's
God.
wild. Yeah, it's wild to me. That like there's just like the level of disdain and hatred that people have for children, and it's like disguised as like, oh, I'm just pro-abortion. Oh, I'm just this. Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. And these are conversations that obviously I want to keep having because like I've already like this is probably a lot that we're talking about right now, and they should be like ongoing conversations. And I'll find some more concrete text on it that right now I can't like think because I was just going on like a whole rant. And now I forgot what I was gonna say about
About white feminism, abortion, and how like anti-children sentiment can be traced in some way to white feminism.
yeah, like for example, like in the 70s, when we're talking about like the Chicana movement, for example, and how like Chicanas branched out. But they didn't feel seen in the Chicana movement. They didn't feel seen in the white feminist movement at the time because white women were fighting for birth control on demand and abortions on demand. And Chicanas at the time were fighting to not be fucking sterilized and to have the right to have children and to have them in safe environments and to be able, like, that is also reproductive justice, right? But a lot of people don't include that part of reproductive justice in their analysis. It's all just like pro-abortion, which is very important, obviously. But there's like a whole other, and like white people are like the creators of the nuclear family, you know? And like, I don't know, there's just a lot because like, yes, like in indigenous communities or like, I know like my abuelita used to take care of us and that was never like an issue. And like now I see videos of like grandparents that are like, not my kids, not gonna take care of them. And people are like, yeah, for real. Like it's the mom, right? It's the mom. And it's like, why y'all are deadbeat. Like we're talking about deadbeat dads, like y'all are deadbeat family members. That's what I feel. Deadbeat grandparents. Like, what do you mean you don't want to help raise your grandchildren or take care of them? Yeah, or you're a deadbeat uncle or a deadbeat. That's what I feel. And there's this like powerful quote, one of my favorite quotes, by C. Bergman that says, "If we center children's rights, capitalism would have to end and nuclear families would unfold outward into community." And that's, I mean,
I
that's
believe
pretty.
that. I believe
It
that.
is. Yeah.
Who was that again?
C. Bergman. So like I'm not really familiar. I don't even know where I keep trying to find. I think I saw it in a zine and I took a photo of it. So I still keep trying to find the original zine that I pulled it from. But yeah, it's a powerful quote that always like that I always come back to.
That reminds me, do you still have copies of your zine?
I can make more. I can make some more, but yeah, like I had an idea for a zine that was about motherhood, right? I like that was one of my New Year's resolutions or goals or whatever I'm calling them to make a parenting zine. And one of them was like just literally what capitalism has stolen from me. Just, when I had told you that capitalism and motherhood and parenthood are incompatible and you wanted me to expand on that. And so I thought about that and how, just little things like there was this tweet a while ago that was like, if capitalism ended or wasn't a thing or you didn't have to worry about paying bills, like what would you do? Right? Like what would you do with your free time? And people were like, I would be making music or I would be gardening or making art or whatever. And it's like for me, like the first thing that popped in my brain was like I'd be able to raise my child, like, period, instead of having him to go to school, right? Because schooling, we talked a little bit about in the last episode, is also like when I'm at work, my child is at school, and that's intentional, right? The way that that's designed. And my child's like, our children spent, I don't count like too many fucking hours a day in this schooling system that's really just setting him up to be either in going into like the school to prison pipeline or to just be workers, right? It's like conditioning them to do that, which again is a another separate conversation, but it's like I don't spend that much time with my child, and when we do, it's like after school, he's already had like this whole day at school. I've already been at work. I'm tired. We go to the park. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like moments that, or just little things like when they have little programs at school and you cannot make it because you have to work, or a parent-teacher conference, or be involved, or just have like, you know what I mean? So it's like, how are we like talking about capitalism, but like you don't see the connection to that? And not, and even just a direct connection to children when we're talking, like another thing that probably I want to talk about next is like child labor laws and how they're also coming back. In Florida, they raised that. Like,
Girl, 13
there's a lot of
apparently.
migrant children who are working in like slaughterhouses that they have found because they're like Burger King is like, if your 14-year-old wants to work here, they just need your permission. Like, so how are these things not a part of your politics and what you talk about all the time? If, especially if you're, well, let me not single anyone out, but if all you talk about is capitalism
Single them
and
out.
but yeah, I don't know. But I would love to hear from parents on this topic, any feedback on that, but also and any other non-parents, because like what we're talking about right now is like you don't have to be a parent to be included in this conversation, right? So
Yeah, thank you for all that. That's not something that comes to my mind often, even though I find that I do have politics in this regard, they're not something that's always in the forefront of my mind. So thank you for always like bringing it up. Yeah, I'm reminded that, yeah, Florida's trying to lower the working age to 13. Bitch, you can't even do math at that age. Not really. Like, you're still. Damn. I did geometry. I flunked geometry then at 14. So, what the fuck was I gonna do with a job at that point? I overslept for 4 p.m. shift at Hot Topic when I was 16.
You worked
So,
at Hot Topic.
yeah, for a holiday season.
Was it when it was like the scary Hot
Yeah,
Topic?
I was still when it
Yeah.
was cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the kids see Hot Topic nowadays, but back in the day, your parents wouldn't let you into that place.
Right.
Yeah, I actually, yeah, I had to like beg to get this like Linkin Park sweater when I was a kid, and my mom was like, "Oh no, not only was the price wrong, but this place is wrong. We're not even going in there." And
It's all
I'm,
demonic.
yeah. But with that said, what has made you less bitter in the last week?
After I just went on this whole fucking
Yeah.
mom rant. Ooh. You go first. I per usual. I have to. Oh, I took actually, yes. So I took a paper mache class yesterday, so that was cool. I was like
What did you
just trying
make?
to a sacred heart,
Oh, shit.
a sagrado corazón out of paper mache. We're not done. I still have to go back for another class, so I'll show you all. I'll show you all the finished product, but it made me less bitter because I'm just like trying to be more open to new things, right? I hate when like we've talked about like mental health and how people are like, "Do you have hobbies? Have you tried making friends?" And I'm like, "No, bitch, I haven't. Thanks." But it's like I do go to the gym because that does help. We've talked about that. And so I'm just trying to like keep busy because if I don't, I feel like I just like get a lot of anxiety and I just like overthink and I'm just like at home or I'm like, you know what I mean? So I'm just like trying new things and like trying to meet new people or whatever they say. So I signed up for this class and I'm glad I did. So I guess that. And like I got, you know, I'm not an artist. I'm also like my Virgo moon is like a perfectionist. And so I think doing art stuff, again, I'm not an artist, I'm not artsy at all, is like good for me because I'm like getting my hands messy or like being able to be like, it doesn't have to be perfect and it's not going to be perfect. So just, you know, some personal growth or whatever.
Well, the trick is, Cassandra, is that as humans, we are all artists. We are all creators. That's what separates us from the rest of the
I'm a
animal.
hater.
Well, no, that doesn't separate us from the rest of the animal kingdom.
That's my
But
art.
I think there are very few other animals that are creatives. And I know some bitch is gonna be like, "But beavers create dams and blah blah." Like, yes, but they don't do it with artsy. Like they don't do it just to express themselves. They do it for habitat reasons. But humans are one of the only animals that creates for the sake of expression. So we are all creators, Cassandra, and I'm happy that you're doing that. And I always wanted to have a Sagrado Corazon in my house, like a really big one, but they're all expensive. So now you're giving me the idea that I can just make one. So
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, those gay people that I think that I can just make anything.
Not me. Not me, but yeah, it's super cute. Yeah. So I hope my heart comes out cute 'cause I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, regardless if it's ugly, it's fine 'cause I made
Yeah.
it. I can say I made it, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that made me less bitter this week is I took some time off for myself, so even though I am, I'm really devoted to rugby at the moment. I skip practice to take care of my body. And also because our next game isn't until the championship game on the 19th. We made it all the way to championships. Thanks. If we
Congratulations.
win that, we are the champions of the Pacific Northwest.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
so on the 19th, I'm terrified and my body's terrified. I'm 36, girl. I should not be doing this. So, yeah, I took some time off for myself, and then I think that helped me in my own personal state, but also, one of a friend that I've been really growing close with for the last year plus, like, I think we finally said, like, oh, we're best friends. And I've never been best friends with like a straight white guy before. So
That's interesting.
that's new in my life. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Best friends with the enemy.
I know. I know. I met up with a friend organizer, an old organizer buddy recently, and he was like, they were like, I did not see this trajectory for you, Ruben. Like, from the Ruben I met in Oakland when we were, organizing and Black Bloc and shit, to this shit now, like, they were like, this is not what I saw for you. And then another organizer friend, from Davis was like, you inspired me to join a sport. And so they joined like Brazilian jiu-jitsu or something. And I'm like, that's a little extreme, girl. Y'all are really hitting each other for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
So I am inspiring the they thems.
Love it.
Yeah, and that's what made me less bitter last week.
All right.
Yeah. All
Awesome.
right.
So I guess
Yeah.
we'll wrap this up. What are we in? April. Is this this is our first
Of the
episode
month.
of the
Yeah.
month of
Yeah.
April, April 7th. Okay.
All right,
All
bitches, you
right.
are
So we'll see you all
next
next
week.
Monday.
All right, take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.